You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, be sure to tune in to News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, every Sunday for Browns pregame coverage all season long, beginning at 11 a.m. Let's bring in our producer, Dave DiNatale, once again, and go around the league, not through the league. Let's go around the league.
Around the league, yes. All right, guys, let's kick it off with
number one.
So after seeing Peyton Manning's performance against the Browns in person Sunday, in your eyes, guys, is he still a top five quarterback in the NFL? Or maybe even is he still a top 10 quarterback in the NFL?
No!
I didn't think so.
He's a bottom five quarterback in the NFL right now, which is crazy to say, but those are the facts. When you look at it, that's where he is. Peyton Manning right now is struggling in every appreciable category that there is for a quarterback. He's having an absolutely brutal year. His quarterback rating, terrible. His accuracy percentage, terrible. He's not throwing the football accurately. Just six. The only people who have a lower accuracy percentage than him this year, Ryan Mallett, Jameis Winston, and Andrew Luck, who was struggling earlier. Deep passing, he's one of the worst in the National Football League. Deep passing, 26% accuracy. That is bottom of the league.
So you're saying he's Dunsky?
He's Dunsky.
Is he top 10?
Say? Stick a fork in him. Top 10 in the NFL? He's bottom. He is in the bottom quartile of quarterbacks. He's
right.
Bottom eight in the NFL.
Okay.
Okay. Just want to make sure we got that straight.
Come on, man.
Number two.
So after New England's win Sunday night over the Colts, would you consider them to be the best team in the NFL right now, fellas?
It's been that way since day one. It will remain that way. Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think they're the Colts gave their best effort with Andrew Luck back in, and I think Andrew Luck looked close to 100%. You know, they pointed out time and time again that he wasn't ripping it in there, but there were times when he had it, when he had to, he was ripping it in there. So, yeah, right now they're the best, and until someone knocks him off their pedestal, they'll continue to be the best. And I think it may come from in the division at some point on the road against maybe the New York Jets.
Is the Jets? I mean, I was going to say, are the Jets the biggest threat right now to the Patriots?
Absolutely.
Or the Bengals?
You've got Brandon Marshall playing at a high level. You have got Chris Ivory running the football at a very, very high level. Eric Decker scored in five straight games, the longest streak of any receiver in the NFL. And this defense with Revis, with Cromartie, with Buster playing well up front. They've got Sheldon Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson, Leonard Williams. This is a very, very good team. And they play the highest percentage, Matt Willem. They play the highest percentage of cover one and cover zero in the NFL.
Are we far behind?
I don't know. That I don't know. I just know from but I know that the Jets play the highest percentage.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, you got the best corners.
Yeah, why not? And you got cover linebackers too.
Yeah. All right, let's stay in the AFC East, guys.
Number three.
Who should the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills be on Sunday? Tyrod Taylor or E.J. Manuel?
If Tyrod Taylor's ready to go, Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's got to be Tyrod Taylor. He won this job. E.J. Manuel, a lot like Cardale Jones, when given the football a little too consistently, a lot of the flaws in his football game shine through. And this is a guy that when we visited the Buffalo area for training camp, E.J. Manuel was potentially not going to make this football team.
He looked pretty good against us, as I recall, in that game.
That was against the third stringer, so, right?
It was, but he did look good. I think, listen, that team's got a lot of injuries right now. Receiver Watkins is banged up. Harvin is banged up. They're struggling up there in Buffalo right now. But Tyrod Taylor has been playing well for them, so I think you got to stick with him.
Number four.
All right, up in the great Northwest, what's the biggest thing wrong with the Seattle Seahawks right now?
I think right now that's inconsistency, both offensively and defensively. You're not getting the Russell Wilson that should be making $100 million on a consistent basis. You're with Marshawn. You're without Marshawn. You traded away your center to get Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham finally kind of has a sort of a day. But I don't believe there's anybody featured in that offense besides maybe Marshawn Lynch. And it's a pedestrian-like effort on offense. And the defense, I think, gets comfortable in a football game by having a good first half. They get very comfortable in the second half, which is why multiple teams have come back on them who have not. They expect teams to lay down because they're Seattle Seahawks, and they're just not anymore. and they're forced to play, and I think teams are figuring them out defensively, at least on the back end.
They're not getting to the quarterback like they used to. Their back end, think of all the turnover. Walter Thurman was there. Brandon Browner was there. Byron Maxwell was there. Those guys are all gone. They lost Lane, their slot corner. There's just a lot of turnover on the back end outside of the big three members of the Legion of Boom. I think that their defensive front is not producing like it has in years past. Their offense is sputtering without Marshawn Lynch. They've only run the ball effectively in one game. Russell Wilson is being exposed to be a guy that can't carry an offense when he doesn't have a running game. And they're struggling. And their offensive line is dreadful. Russell Wilson's been sacked more than any quarterback in the NFL. And you know how elusive he is. So it is
elusive.
He's elusive. So it's a tough thing.
And finally,
number five.
So there's going to be another game this weekend in London in the NFL. So I'm asking you, the two of you, what's the percentage chance that London has an NFL team, let's say within the next 3 years?
I'm going to go 20% chance that there'll be a team in London. And why it is so low for me is because while I know it's a cash grab and a desperate owner is going to look there for a fresh start, you know, probably Shad Khan down there in Jacksonville has obviously been rumored for many years now. But, man, is that a hard sell. If I'm a college kid coming out of, you know, I don't know, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Florida, and you're a team that's showing interest in me, I'm literally throwing up my fingers in the cross like you're a vampire. Stay away from me. I'm faking an injury. Whatever I can do to fall off your draft board. And that's the same when it comes to free agency. How are you expected to, you know, you might have to throw again, just knowing Paul Kruger had an offer from Tampa Bay, but Cleveland, you know, gave him a few more million dollars to come here to Cleveland over Tampa Bay. What are you going to have to pay somebody to have them move their family, move their kids, and live in another country with different currency and all? I wouldn't want to go there. And if I got traded there, man, woo, I'd be heated.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen because of greed. I don't think it should happen. I think that it is the logistics of it. You'd have to give a team a bye. Every team that goes to London's got to play have a bye week coming out of that game. It's just going to be logistically, I think, tough. It's a lot of travel.
Taxes?
What if you have the taxes, because players are taxed based on where they play.
Correct.
Each game. I even am. It's so bizarre. Like, they take that day out of mine, so I pay taxes in Maryland and New York and whatever. But, yeah, you have to worry about that, paying tax to another government, I guess. But I guess they already have to deal with that with the one game this year anyway.
Sure.
You have to – how does Seattle go play a London team? How does a London team go play Seattle?
Right.
How do they go play this new L.A. team? How do they play San Francisco? That's a – what is that, 12-hour flight? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's stupid.
I mean, it's bad. You always think, like, in college football, like, Hawaii always has to come across and play a couple of teams, you know, in four or five time zones away. I can't imagine having to do that 8 times in a year.
Right, or 10 because
or
of the preseason.
Times, right.
It sounds terrible, man. If that happens, it's just flat-out greed.
Yeah, and I think you're going to have a lot of players fall out of love with playing in the NFL if they happen to be playing for that football team.
Yeah, I think it's a competitive disadvantage for that team. I really do. I think people aren't going to be happy. I think maybe they get an advantage when teams have to travel to come play them, but I think you're right. I think you're going to get some apathy. You got to remember where a lot of NFL players grow up and the environments in which they grow up, and now they're going to be living in London. You know, not in America anymore. I just don't think that's – it just doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense to me. I don't like it. I like it about as much as I like these Thursday night games. But those happen. They do it every week now. So,
you and Richard Sherman.
Greed is a powerful – and all the players, they all hate it. It's just not smart. It's not a good thing. It's not good.
But we're going to try and make the game – we're going to make it safer.
Oh, because they care
about
the players.
So we're going to give you less time to prepare.
We care about
to give your best effort on Thursday night.
That's right.
We care about the players.
All right, guys, that's around the league here on this Wednesday.
Yes, it is. All right, when we come back, final foray into the mailbag, final opportunity to get your phone calls as well, 216-578-0850. Do we still have Mark and Parmadino?
No, Mark left us.
He was going around the league with us. All right, last chance, Mark, if you want to call back, 216-578-0850. We'll get into the mailbag as well. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven by Liberty Ford.